women who have accepted Jesus Christ in a women's ministries meeting in the world is over, I want to say 5,000, might be even more than that, but it's a huge number. And again, a lot of times, for whatever reason, in the United States, we don't really focus on that in our women's ministries. Mm-hmm. It might be for a variety of reasons, but that's not the case in other places. In other places, that's given a big emphasis.
Hey, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. The Prepare Podcast is a Salvation Army podcast where we invite women of faith in a ministry to share their experiences and wisdom to prepare and equip us in our faith, pursuits, and callings. I'm your host, Sarah McCula, and this is a bonus episode. Earlier this year, Central Territory Officer Commissioner Dawn Heatwall was in town, and I was able to sit down with her and get her on the podcast. Commissioner Dawn and Merle Heatwall are serving overseas at international headquarters and have been exposed to the Salvation Army in many corners of the world. So I wanted to hear from her about what she has seen and experienced and what we can learn from our brothers and sisters overseas. Commissioner Dawn shares about a few really important topics: the global sin and issue of domestic violence and trafficking, and an encouragement for officers facing new appointments. This is a great episode. Enjoy our conversation. Hi, Commissioner Dawn. Welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Thank you very much.
So glad you're here and welcome home.
Thank
you. Just for a short time.
A short time.
You're here. Well, we're here for a little bit of personal.
Yes.
And now you're here on business.
Yes.
And I just want to always, anytime someone's in town that can really give our listeners some insight into ministry, and especially Salvation Army ministry, as that it relates to us, I want to grab those people. So as soon as you know, we knew you were coming, we had to sort this out and make sure you could sit down and share. So before we get into your experiencing globally, because you're at international headquarters in London and you're getting to see the Salvation Army in a whole new lens, before we do that, why don't you go ahead and for any of our new listeners, or just a recap, you know, a refresher for our longtime listeners, tell us who you are.
So I'm Commissioner Dawn Heatwall. I've been an officer for almost 34 years, served most of those years in the Central Territory until 2014, went to National Headquarters for 13 months, my shortest appointment as an officer, and then was transferred to International Headquarters as the Zonal Secretary for Women's Ministries for the Americas and Caribbean Zone. So I have the opportunity to travel that part of the world, this part of the world, and just get to see Salvation Army ministry in an amazing new way. As growing up as an officer's kid, you think you know the Salvation Army, and then you become an officer and you see a different view, and you go to DHQ or THQ or NHQ and you see a little bit more, and then you get to international headquarters and realize you had no idea what the Salvation Army was, because I've always known it in a Western context, in an American context, and that's not all that the Salvation Army is. It's a part of, and it's an important part, but it's not everything that the Salvation Army is. And so it's been an amazing experience for me for the last 2.5 years to have the opportunity to see that.
So in coming up in a few months, you're changing appointments.
Yes.
What does that look like?
So as of April 1st, my new appointment will be the Secretary for Strategic Mission at International Headquarters. So what that entails is a whole bunch.
Okay.
Hopefully everybody has heard of the Worldwide Mobilizing Campaign.
Yes.
So that will become one of my responsibilities. I'll also be the IHQ chaplain and have the opportunity to build community within the IHQ building.
Mm-hmm.
I'll also be working with local churches in the IHQ community to bridge some gaps there, or to see how we can collaborate. And also my hope is to work with a couple of the local corps that are close to IHQ to see how can we at IHQ support the local Salvation Army work in the United Kingdom and the Republic of Ireland territory. So, and then there's a whole bunch of other little pieces that are kind of added And so I'll have the opportunity to do a lot of different things. So I'm looking forward, on one hand, to some new possibilities. The thing that I'm grieving the most is not being able to travel. Yeah. I'll pretty much be IHQ bound. And over the last 2.5 years, my husband and I have been able to travel and see so much of the Army ministry. And so I'm kind of grieving, I think, that part, that piece, which really is an answer to prayer in itself, because when I first got the appointment, the thing that I was the most afraid of was the travel, because I'm such a picky eater, because I have some physical issues that many times are exacerbated by travel, by time zones and that kind of thing. But God has really just answered all of that, and now it's my favorite part. And so it's just an amazing thing to see how God has just kind of worked all those pieces out, and now it's my favorite part of the job. So it's fun.
Good. Okay. Well, that gives us a glimpse into your world, your current world. Is there anything else you would like our listeners to know about Dawn Heatwell?
Well, I think on a personal side, I have 3 grandkids, and I have a grandson who lives in Florida, and a granddaughter who lives in the Chicago area, and a granddaughter who is newly born just this month. Who lives in Iowa with her officer parents. And so being a grandparent opens a whole nother dynamic, I think. And an exciting thing that happened is that our grandson told us at Christmas time that on Christmas Day he accepted Jesus as his Savior. So that was really a cool thing as a grandparent. And so we were excited for that piece. So just to see them grow up, to see your own children be parents is an amazing thing. And making adult choices. And so it's been fun to see that as well. But that's also actually the hardest part of serving overseas is the distance. For big family events, you don't get to do birthday parties, or you don't get to do Grandparents' Day, or some of those things. And so we are fortunate with today's technology, and we make use of Skype and FaceTime as often as we can, and now also Facebook Messenger to get to do all those kind of things and just to kind of stay in touch with everybody so that we know what's going on in their lives and that kind of thing. So, yeah, being a grandparent's the best.
Good. Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, it's
I've
great.
I've heard that. Yeah, that's great. Well, so you've described your current appointment, and you were at National Headquarters before that.
Right.
In the role of?
National Secretary for Women's Ministries. That was for 13 months. So one of my responsibilities there was to oversee the printing and the gathering of materials for the National Women's Ministries Resource Book, which is now all gone electronically.
That's right.
So, so that was like one of my big responsibilities. But also at National Headquarters, I had the responsibility for veterans work with the territory. So we just kind of kept in contact to find out what was happening. I didn't actually do the veterans work, but had the opportunity just to find out from the territories what's happening and how the Army is involved and what are some of the challenges because of new laws and regulations that the Army is facing in that area. So that was good, too, just to see those pieces.
Yeah. Okay, well, one of the things that is just we have to talk about, because it's a shared experience for us, and I think it connects to the work you've been doing, is we went on a mission team.
Yes.
I think it was the first women's ministries team, which was very, I don't know, foreshadowing or whatever for me personally, because at the time I was in World Missions. We went on a women's ministries team to Kenya together, and that was really in the beginning stages of your overseas experience.
Right.
Do you want to share a little bit about, like, I know you've gone to India with your husband. Do you think 2012 Colonel Dawn, would be shocked to see you today?
Yes, because when we went, first of all, again, when I had traveled overseas before, I traveled with my husband. So it was a comfortable travel, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was my first time going by myself. And that was a big deal because I'm not really a good traveler. I'm a super, super, super picky eater. So I wasn't sure how that was going to work. But actually, I think what it did for me was it showed me that I can stand on my own two feet, mm-hmm. and that God can use me, and that God can use all of our gifts and talents. And it gave me, it reinforced, I think, a love for International Salvation Army, mm-hmm. just to see the work that happens in some of these places. You know, as we're standing in a core building out in Kenya West, and there's nothing. There's cement floor. There's, you know, nothing, no fancy electronics, no nice soft pews, none of those things. Mm-hmm. And yet we painted. That's all we did, right? We went and we painted the inside of this core building. And the core officer says to us, oh, my goodness, I can't wait for my people to see it, because mm-hmm. they've never had the inside of the core building, the church building, painted. And it was just one of those moments where you go, really? Like, we take that for granted,
right.
and we even complain about the paint colors mm-hmm. on the wall. We don't like it. It doesn't match the carpet, all these other things. And yet the simple things, they were so excited about. And then when we have chicken and you watch the ladies outside cooking over an open fire, and they're all so hospitable, like their whole goal is to make you comfortable. And yet they take you out to show you the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's an open fire. And they've been working all day so that you can eat a meal. And it just makes you real appreciative, mm-hmm. I think, for the simple things. And it really isn't about how nice your building is. It isn't about how much money is in the bank account. It's how you love your people. And I think as we've traveled, I've seen that over and over and over again. It's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's caring. And it's just officers and employees and soldiers who just say, I just want to love people in the name of Jesus. And that's what's been an amazing thing mm-hmm. for me to see. But Kenya West was really – I still talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then an amazing thing is that when we were in Kenya West, the commissioners at the time mm-hmm. were the Malabis. And when I arrived at IHQ, right next to us is Florence Malabi. So Florence and I shared work at IHQ.
Oh,
and then she moved. And the new commissioners were Grace and Benjamin. And they were the chief secretary in the TSWM. So both of those ladies that I worked with in Kenya West, I've worked with at IHQ.
Wow.
So again, it's kind of
That's
a God
wild.
Thing.
Yeah. The most memorable part of Kenya West for me was when we were at that women's retreat, women's camp, right?
Yes.
Rally.
Yes.
And there were so many women. And it wasn't like a camp like we typically have done, or even like in a hotel kind of setting. I think it was in this open land, and there was a few like school buildings, right? Mm-hmm. And they slept on the school floor, right?
Yes. And they rolled out their mats.
They rolled out their mats and just found a place to lay their head, and they slept there. They got up in the morning and carried on. And I was just like, wow. Like, we after women's camp, a lot of times we have like a lot, like a list of things that could have been better here and here. And
right.
I don't like sleeping on this bunk.
Yes.
You know, like I've said the things, like I'm guilty of all the complaints. But I was just so humbled that they would – it didn't matter to them.
No.
If they had to sleep on the floor, they just wanted to be together.
Right. And do you remember their meals? Like they – the Corps had to cook their
yes.
own meals.
Yes.
The meals
yep.
weren't cooked or provided for
mm-hmm.
them. They had to carry the rice with them, or
yep.
the ugala
mm-hmm.
with them to make – as a group. And so it's some of those things that we just kind of take for granted
we
complain about, and then you see in other places what other people are doing.
Yeah. Oh, it was such a beautiful experience. Okay. So from your travels to Army locations all over the world, what are the things you see among women that we have in common worldwide?
Strength. I mean, the women in almost every place we go, if it weren't for the women,
mm-hmm.
It would be a different Salvation Army, right? The women in many places of the world are carrying the water for their families, for their even the girl children, the young children are at that age carry the water sometimes for hours. So the Salvation Army, the things that are wonderful is – first of all, joy in ministry. Women can rise above all of those things and still serve with joyful hearts, even though they might be in very difficult situations and difficult circumstances. The thing that the other things that we share, I don't want to say a negative side, but a mm-hmm. life side, is that we've seen in every single territory in the world. As reviews are given, you come back and give a report at IHQ. Every single territory in the world, domestic violence is there. Mm-hmm. It's not a cultural thing. It's a life thing, and it's a sin thing.
It's a human brokenness sin.
Mm-hmm. So we're actually looking at IHQ. What does that look like? How is there something that we can do as an organization internationally to help? Mm-hmm. And so we're just kind of in the beginning stages of that. The other piece that's also common is sexual trafficking. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not even just sexual. It's labor trafficking as well. And we're seeing that across every part of the world as well. And we're actually – I think we're becoming more affirmative, more progressive in that area in all parts of the world. And I've seen it especially in Central and South America – that they've started initiatives, they've started programs, they've continued programs, they've made programs bigger because they're seeing the influx of people coming up through Mexico, trying to get into the United States, coming from Haiti, through Brazil, through Mexico. So there's just all these different things that are happening that our South American friends have almost a better grip on what's happening and are helping us in the north to say, these are some things we could be doing and how can we work together? How can Mexico and the United States work together for part of what's already there, part of what could be coming? And so there is a task force with officers and employees from Mexico as well as from the United States looking at what happens if a big deportation does happen. Mm. How do we work together to get people from one side to the other and to help them integrate back or to begin the paperwork to come back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's just been so I think those are two things that are alike on the negative side. Mm-hmm. On the positive side, again, it's the strength of women, the strength of the human spirit to even in cultures where women are not regarded highly, even in Salvation Army circles, where sometimes women officers are given an appointment but not given the tools to do their work. Mm-hmm. So there are some of those things that the Army still has some catching up to do, but in many cases we're continuing to push and to work to try to continue to make that better. How can we make that a better person? How can we make, you know, how can we strengthen and educate women when as young girls they're not giving education, but then they come to the training college? So how can we then help with that education? So, yeah, there's a lot of alikes. Unfortunately, sin isn't cultural.
Yeah.
Sin goes across every barrier. And so we are dealing with some of those after effects of sin with the domestic violence and the human trafficking pieces. Now, some of the great, amazing things that we've seen in some of our territories is seed money that's being given. So, for instance, a territory, Latin America North, for instance, will give $1,000 in their local currency to a division and say, now do what you can with your women's groups to multiply this. So then they'll have a full year to work with that money. Many times then it becomes a microfinancing thing where they'll help them build their own business. And then that money is paid back to the territory and those businesses then continue to go and that money then stays local. The only money that comes back is the original seed money. Mm-hmm. Then the next year that seed money is given to another division. So that $1,000 just continues to give over and over again, hopefully multiplying in those divisions in that territory. So that's one of the exciting things that we've seen, the innovative things that we've seen. So that's been exciting. And again, as I travel, I think that's the best part, is seeing the things that are out there and then telling their story. They can't tell their own story. I can help tell their story. Mm-hmm. So learning, watching, learning, and then sharing what's going on.
What can women in the Central Territory and all over the U.S., for that matter, learn from the women that you have met south in the Americas, in Latin America, in the Caribbean? What can we learn from them?
First of all, sometimes in our culture in the United States, because we have nice buildings, because we have air conditioning, because we have all of those kind of things. We have a tendency to stay insular inside, and yet in the South, very few of those places would be air conditioning. So people are out. They're out on the corner. They're out on their porch. They're out in their neighborhoods. They'd shop in open-air markets. So relationships are built, right? Mm-hmm. So the importance of the relationships that happen are more important than the program. So you can offer these fantastic programs. You might have a lot of money that you're able to put into women's ministries. But if you don't have relationships, it's a dead issue.
Mm.
And so relationships take time. And in the United States, many times we're busy. We're going from one thing to the next, or we have our face in our iPad or in our iPhone. We're busy. We cannot deny the relationship piece, because I'm going to come to even a mediocre program if I know you're expecting me and you're going to be happy to see me and you're going to make me feel welcome when I arrive, or you're going to just allow me to have a safe place to be. But you might have the best program in the world, but if nobody says hello to me when I walk in the door, or nobody cares if I show up, and if I don't show up, nobody bothers to call me or to come see what the problem is, then why should I keep coming? I have enough other things going on. So I think relationship is key. And the other thing that as I've observed, it's people serve out of their passion. So if I can serve out of what my passion is, I'm going to serve better. Like I'm gonna be able to give more, because it's not gonna drain me as much. Now I think sometimes, at least for me in the past, I have said, "Well, this appointment that I've been given, it's not my passion. So you know, whatever, I'll just do whatever because the Army gave me the appointment. So whatever, here we go." Your people know that, right?
They can see through it.
They can see through it. And I was given an appointment where I thought, this is not me at all. And yet that's the appointment that I really fell in love with, which was the candidate secretary. Mm. I never pictured myself as a candidate secretary ever. But yet it was the appointment that God said to me, now this isn't about you. This isn't about your strengths anymore. You've got to rely 100% on me, because some of these other appointments that you've had, those were your passion, so you could do them easily. But this isn't an easy one for you. So I'm going to stretch you, and I'm going to stretch you to the point where you can't do it on your own. Mm. You've got to rely on me to be able to do it and to be able to do it well. And so I think sometimes we put ourselves in a box, not just women, men, people do it too, leaders. And we only want to focus on one, like our comfort zone, like what can we do the best? But sometimes God wants to say, wait a minute. I know you can do that the best because I gave you those gifts. Mm-hmm. But I want you to serve here because I want to teach you a new gift. I want to give you a new gift. I want to see how far you will allow yourself to be stretched for God to use you and to pour into you so that others will actually see God in you and not what you can do.
Yeah.
And that's a continual challenge for me as well, because it's really easy to complain. Mm-hmm. It's easy for me to complain about this appointment or that appointment, or how come I didn't get that appointment, or how come. But God sometimes just says, look, I just need you and me to have a conversation, and I'm going to see how far I can stretch you and how far you will allow me to stretch you. Mm-hmm. And it's been in those places that as we travel and we see women doing things, amazing things, that that God shines through, right? So I'm going to give you one real quick story.
Yeah.
So recently there was a new president elected in the United States. And on the Saturday following that election, I was standing in Tijuana, Mexico, on the other side of the wall, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I was in Tijuana, you could see the work that's happening there. There's actually work that's happening there within 1 mile of the border between Tijuana and San Diego. And the Salvation Army there has a program where they're working with women who have been deported. And some of them have been deported with their children. Some have been deported without their children. And so in the cases where they're deported without their children are actually United States citizens because they're in the United States. They have their children. Then the mom is deported, but the kids get to stay. Well, what we discovered is that many times those women are deported because the spouses called the government on their illegal wife or their illegal girlfriend because they got upset about something. So the mom is deported.
Wow.
So the mom comes to Mexico, and actually right outside immigration in Mexico are the pimps to pick up the women to say, you know, you want to earn some quick money? I can get you into the business, and then you can get back over to the United States. But there's a Salvation Army program there who has a fully licensed psychologist to meet with these women, who has an officer who has a passion for this. Again, she had never worked in it and was dropped into this appointment and has fallen in love with the appointment. And she's helping women figure out how to legally get back to their children. That's a program I had no idea existed. Yet the Salvation Army is in that place already. They've been there for a while. It's not something that's new. So the Salvation Army is working in places like that that we don't know about.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Right.
No idea.
Yeah. And so that's happening all over the world, but specifically in our zone. So really my job as the zonal secretary is to see those ministries and to tell their stories because they can't tell them, so I want to tell them. And also, then when I go to the southern part of the zone, my goal is to tell the southern part of the zone about all the resources that are available in the United States, online, free, that the Salvation Army is producing. Corps cadets, junior soldiers, Sunday school, women's ministries, it's all available. So my goal is to tell the story both ways.
Yeah.
How can we be supportive from the north to the south? How can the south be supportive of the north? And it is a two-way street. It's not just us telling them. They have a lot to teach us from the central and from the south and from the Caribbean. We have a lot to learn in how they love people right where they are in their communities. And so it's a learning experience of figuring that out.
Right.
And I think that's been the best part of my job.
Yeah. Now, what would, you know, I asked what they could teach us. Is there something that Americans can teach that we're, that we've, that we're doing well? Or like you said, we could each teach each other something.
Right.
And you said we have a lot of resources. Is that what the answer would be to that?
I think part of it is the resources and the willingness to share those resources. And now most of the resources, at least in the United States, are being translated into Spanish, which is very helpful for the southern part of the zone. But I also think the North American women have the opportunity to show our sisters, not just in the southern part of my zone, but in the rest of the world, that you can be a strong woman and you have much to offer in ministry, regardless of what others might tell you.
Yeah.
And so you have to speak up. Now, I know culturally in some places that's very difficult and it would
in
mean
in some cases dangerous.
In some cases very dangerous. And so it's this fine line of the strength of a woman and what we have to offer in ministry. Not just in the Salvation Army, but in the worldwide church. I think also the power of prayer. We understand the power of prayer. And I think the generosity of women in the north and in the northern part of the zone is an important piece. Most of the money that's raised by women's ministries in the United States and Canada isn't raised by rich women, right?
Right.
It's raised by women who have little but who are trying to give because they see the need. And it's important for all of us to realize that World Services giving is done literally by the entire world, like in Africa and India and Haiti. Everybody in the entire world raises World Services money. But in North America, we are blessed for whatever reason, many times by outside donations, many times insider donations. So we have to use those resources wisely. And I think that is something that we can share with our sisters, that when you're giving something, when you do have the resources, to use them in honoring God, whether that be in resources as far as program materials or whether it be in resources of people or whether that be in resources of money. And that's not to say they're not, but it's just to say whether you have a little or whether you have a lot, we're all responsible for our resources.
The SWOT analysis, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Now, we don't have to go through each of those, but women's ministries at large, you know, like we here at THQ, we look at our stats and they're down,
right.
You know, and I don't know if that's the case worldwide, but maybe could you tell our listeners, like, what are the strengths of, like, the women's ministries programming worldwide? Is there something that you see as a strength for all of us? And then maybe what's our area of weakness?
Yeah. Strength worldwide, I would actually think it's the ability to make relationships. As women, we're relational, right? It's important for us. So the strength of women's ministries is bringing women together, regardless of background, regardless of education. We can all come together to learn something together or to learn from one another. So I think that that would be a strength. And just as a side point, it's actually just in the Western part of the world that women's ministries is down. In Africa and India, women's ministries continues to explode.
Really?
And
that's awesome.
As we talk about it at IHQ, we think part of it is because they find that opportunity in those women's ministries groups for relationships, but also for education, for some of those things that they wouldn't get in society, right? So it is exploding. And another piece that's really interesting is, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but women who have accepted Jesus Christ in a women's ministries meeting in the world is over, I want to say 5,000, might be even more than that, but it's a huge number. And again, a lot of times, for whatever reason, in the United States, we don't really focus on that in our women's ministries. It might be for a variety of reasons, but that's not the case in other places. In other places, that's given a big emphasis, actually,
really?
That the devotional piece, that the spiritual piece is a big, huge part of every single week of women's ministries. The other strength that's happening in again, in India and in Africa and in some places in South America and the Caribbean is a program called Junior Miss. And it would be for girls like 10 to 15, so before they become women's ministries or home league age, an opportunity to teach them, an opportunity to bring them into the fellowship. They'll have special meetings at the camp. They'll have special meetings of their own. And as I've traveled to our part of the zone in the South, I've encouraged them to look at the Girl Guard material because a lot of that are life skills.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do in Junior Miss is to teach them some life skills before they get to the women's ministries or home league age. So I think the strength comes in relationships, education, teaching. Weakness would be sometimes it's a cultural issue where women aren't allowed to congregate separately. Sometimes a weakness internationally could be the stigma, I guess, is the, I don't know if that's really the right word, but that some women think of women's ministries or home league just for the old ladies.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Right? And some officers, even when they're given the appointment, they think, I don't even really like women's ministries. Why am I in this position? Why? What can I be doing in this position? So we're trying to figure that out, actually, at IHQ. What is it that, especially in the Western world, in Europe, in North America, that women's ministries is given a negative connotation? When really, when you think of women's ministries, it's so wide open. You can do so much with women's ministries. And it's really ministry for women.
Right.
So why do we keep putting it in this box? Like, why do we keep saying it's a negative thing where I should want to have ministry for my women? It might not be my passion, but I don't want to just leave them off, you know, to the side, because women do have special needs. Women do have certain things that make them tick. At the same time, I don't think all women's ministries should be the same. I want to say that the Central Territory does really good with giving lots of options that people are pretty have the opportunity to pretty much do anything in regards to women's ministries. And I think that's really important, because if you can find ladies who like to scrapbook or ladies who like to woodwork or ladies who like to go biking or ladies who like to go hiking, build something on that. Go with it. Run with it. You know, if you have that group of people who already have are like-minded and have things that they like to do together, don't fight against that. But just include devotions. Mm-hmm. Include devotions at the beginning or devotions at the end. And then invite them. You know, invite mm-hmm. them to the core, or have once a year or twice a year where all of the groups come together so that we can see that, mm-hmm. you know, Sarah loves to do antiquing and loves to do, you know, clothes that are from the older generations. and Sarah loves that. I don't understand that. But Sarah doesn't really like to do card making either. And I love to do card making, you know. But we can find common ground as mm-hmm. women. So I think sometimes the weakness is the stigma that comes along with the title of Home League or Women's Ministries.
I'm glad that you mentioned about the opportunity to accept Christ, because as we last year were talking about here at THQ in a department meeting, you know, one of the issues that we see, not just in women's ministries, but especially as it relates to coming to faith in Christ, is we're not often giving the invitation. And a lot of people don't know how to enter into that if they're a first-time believer. So in our Women's Ministries 2017-2018 promotional, we put that as one of the goals, you know, is to keep a special count of how many times that you've presented the gospel.
Right.
That you have provided an invitation.
Right.
Again, it kind of crosses a number of different areas, not just even with someone coming to Jesus, but someone coming to a program. Well, did they know? Were they invited? Like,
right.
did they get the call? You know, whatever yeah. it is. Like, we can't expect people to show up or to accept Jesus if they haven't been invited. So I think that is so incredible that they overseas are making a special emphasis again and again to invite people, present the gospel,
right,
and invite people to accept Jesus as their Savior.
Right, right. And one of the things that again, as we've traveled worldwide, that I've realized that the vibrancy of worship in many of the places that we've traveled is very different than in the United States. I'm not saying that we don't have good worship here. I'm saying that it's different. In many places that we've traveled, when they sing a chorus like Jesus is all I need, or, you know, something like that, that's really they mean it, because they really have no material possessions. So when they have Jesus, he's everything to them, mm-hmm. and they worship differently than I might worship coming in my nice car, sitting in the nice warm pew, mm-hmm. knowing I'm going home to a crock pot full of food and my utility bills are paid. And so worship is an outpouring sometimes of who we are and what we offer back to God. And in some places of the world, we have the opportunity to see people who worship literally with their whole being, mm-hmm. because they're giving everything they have to God, even though what they have seems very minimal in a Western view. And so as I've been at IHQ, I think one of the greatest assets for me being at IHQ is it's opened my eyes to the world. Again, I grew up in the United States. It was my whole life until I was 50-some. Mm-hmm. And to see the world and the Salvation Army through a worldwide view has been an amazing experience. And if you've never been on a mission trip, start there,
mm-hmm.
honestly, because even that 10 days can shake up your world.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing how God can work in you. And I think each time that we've traveled internationally, I think what we've discovered is we've learned and been given much more than we were ever able to teach or give. Sometimes it's by the people locally. Many times it's by God doing something, shifting something in my heart or in my mind to say, you don't have a clue. Just sit back and watch and listen and be willing to maybe change your opinion
yeah.
about a thing or two.
Because I think the temptation, having that initial exposure or on your first mission team, is sometimes to identify all the problems that
right.
you see and want to fix them, and because you're seeing it through the lens of back home, and you know what works back home, and why wouldn't it work here? Why aren't they doing it this way? And what you said is so important, to sit back and listen and see what you can learn from this other culture.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of trying to get your hands on it.
And change it.
And change it. When, here's the thing, you see it, a certain thing as maybe broken, but maybe they don't.
Right.
And maybe it's not. And just because we have these different contexts
yeah.
in which we see.
It's a learning experience, and we have to be willing to learn and not just think we're going to teach.
Right. Because, like, we teach in our women's ministries mission teams that we learn from the World Missions Department is that God has gone before you.
Right.
And God's already at work and has been at work for a long time in a lot of these countries.
Yes.
And he just works different.
Yes.
In these different countries.
Yeah, good.
So what has, in your exposure to the International Salvation Army, has there been anything that surprised you?
That's a good question. I think...
For good or for bad. There's no right or wrong answer to that.
Again, I think the surprise comes in the amount of ministry that's happening in places I've never heard about, right? Or would never even dream of this being ministry. We've seen ministry in the form of... gardens and selling plants in the neighborhood and building relationships there. We've seen it in the form of a monthly barbecue in Argentina, which has the most amazing beef ever.
Yeah.
We've seen it, you know, at getting women from who have been deported, and I talked about that. The children's homes that the Salvation Army runs in the places that we've been to see, Mexico and in the Caribbean. And, I mean, amazing, amazing ministry that if the Salvation Army wasn't there, these children's lives would be very different, very different. So I think all of those things have been a surprise in a sense because, again, growing up in a Western world, I always thought this was the Salvation Army,
yeah.
right? And you realize it's really not. It is the Salvation Army. I don't want to get that wrong. It's the Salvation Army here. But the amazing thing really about the Salvation Army is that we can all have the same doctrines and beliefs and mission, but we do it different. Mm-hmm. And that's really a great thing about the Salvation Army is that if we do it right in our communities, it doesn't look like the next corps over or the next corps in the next division. Because if we're doing the Salvation Army right, we're figuring out what is needed in my local community and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's the biggest surprise for me is just to see the amount of variety
mm-hmm.
that the Salvation Army is doing worldwide. Again, sometimes with very few resources, but the work is still being done.
Yeah.
People are still being won to Jesus. Lives are still being changed. They don't have a nice building. They don't have any money in the bank. Sometimes they literally don't have a roof over their head, but people are being loved into the kingdom of God because of officers, soldiers, employees, volunteers who are just loving people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can look at all the different things, and we have the most important thing in common, our love of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And serving him. Like, as long as we have that in common, I think we're good.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yes. Yes.
Okay, so in terms, you know, you touched on it in the very beginning just about how God has, you know, worked on you or surprised you with, you know, with the travel or with the eating and things like that. So in terms of your personal faith, what has God taught you while living overseas?
That it's not about me. And I think I knew that. But when you're faced with it, like when you travel, you realize it's not about me. It's not about what I believe. It's not about my culture. It's about loving Jesus, right? So as I've traveled and God has just kind of revealed different things to me in my own personal faith, I've been strengthened, first of all, in not having that direct support system. Like growing up in the Central Territory, I have a lot of friends here, right? And a lot of people who could surround me and come alongside me on those difficult mm-hmm. days physically
yeah.
could come alongside me. You go to international headquarters and nobody knows you. They might know who you are,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know your story. And our story is what makes us who we are, mm-hmm. our families, our backgrounds, the things that have happened to us. And so it's just been a reminder to me that God is always there. And when I can't have that physical piece of physical support from people, I need to rely on the one who made me and who knows me. Now, I have to tell you on a selfish sense, when Colonel Evie Diaz moved to IHQ Evie and I have been friends for a number of years, it made things easier.
Yeah.
Because she knows my story. She really knows who my children are. She knows my family, and she knows we have connected friends. So it's really nice to have that connection. Mm-hmm. But living overseas, it's been a blessing and a struggle, both. And I think the struggle piece comes in the human side, being so far from your family. You know, just some of those things that I talked about earlier. But the faith piece, and I'll just touch on this real quick, is I've always gone to the Psalms for the faith piece for me, because David is very real, and he just kind of tells it like it is, and I kind of really relate to that, mm-hmm. where when he's having a bad day, he says, he just tells you. And then the next psalm, he's praising God about something. And so I've actually taken a journey since June of 2016 to write the Psalms. And we're finishing up that journey. And some friends have taken that journey with me on Facebook. And we're now on Psalm 144. So we're getting close to the end. And then, and that was actually a really personal thing that the Lord just challenged me to say, I want you to dig a little deeper than just reading the word. And I'm a written person. Like, my gift of my love language is the written word. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the Lord has taken me on another journey. And on April 1, we will begin writing Romans. Mm-hmm. And we're going to write Romans through Jude. And that will take us almost 2 full years as well. So the Lord is just stretching me, my faith, to say, I want more from you than just reading. Because a lot of times when I'm reading, my brain is looking at the words, but my brain is wandering. But when I'm writing, my hand and my brain have to engage, and it keeps me a little bit more into the world, into the words. So my faith has been stretched that way as well. And it's just been fun to see some friends who have come alongside on the Facebook page as we kind of keep up with that, to see how it's affecting other people, that my personal journey, it started out as my personal journey. Now other people are sharing in that personal journey, and it's affecting them as well. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging them and encouraging them as well. So that's been a lot of fun as well.
All right, I have two more questions before we wrap it up. What appointment has prepared you most for your current appointment?
It's a combination, really. And it's funny because when you get to my age, mid-50s, you can look back and see how God has done that. Mm-hmm. Like when you're in the midst of something, you're going like, why in the world am I doing this appointment? Why? What is this mm-hmm. about? And then you look back and you go, oh, okay, the puzzle is coming together and another piece has been added. On a personal note, an interesting thing happened that when we arrived in London, we arrived at our flat, our apartment, and then went walking in the neighborhood, and I realized I'd been there before. I'd been in that neighborhood. I had shopped in that grocery store. I had eaten in the restaurants on that, what they call the high street.
Uh-huh.
When my friends Barry and Sue Swanson were in London, they lived in that same neighborhood.
Oh.
And it was kind of a way for God just to say, it's okay. You're going to be okay. You've got some familiar things here, even mm-hmm. though things are different. You've got some familiar things here. And so it's just amazing how when you can look back, you can see how God has brought all those puzzle pieces together, and he's fitting them together to make the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say there really was just one. I would say that it's been experiences along the way. You know, my international travel prior, going on these different mission mm-hmm. trips or doing special events, has prepared me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just been kind of one thing after another where, again, I look back and I say, okay, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
I get it now. I may not have liked it in the middle of it, in the midst of it, but I get it now. Yeah.
Okay, last question. How can our women in the Central Territory be in prayer for other women worldwide?
I think the biggest piece would be equality and women being given the opportunity to be themselves and not be, the word isn't put down, but not be oppressed because they're a woman.
Yeah.
And that's happening throughout the world and unfortunately sometimes even in the Salvation Army. And so the importance of women having a voice. Having a voice. So if you could pray for that. And it's such a big area, so it's hard to pray for the whole sexual, human trafficking, and domestic violence issues. But we've got to figure out how the Salvation Army can be in the forefront instead of trying to catch up. Yeah. How can we make a difference in the world? And it's happening, you know, in spots. I mean, the USA Central has some great programs happening in the area of sexual trafficking with Stop It and other things going on. And every territory has these little pockets of things. But how can we as a denomination make a difference in our world in the area where it is men and women, but it's mostly women who are being trafficked for sex and for labor issues? So I would say, even though it seems like such a big nebulous issue, the issue that how can we make a difference in our community and in the world?
Yeah. Well, Commissioner Dawn, thank you so much for your time on a very, very busy day and a very busy visit to, you know, you've always been such a cheerleader for our Central women. Mm-hmm. And I, that's why I know you made time for this, because you love us and you want to encourage us. And like you said, keep telling the stories of other women and ministries in the Salvation Army worldwide, because we benefit from hearing their stories.
Right. All right. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Thank you again, Commissioner Dawn, for sharing with our listeners. You've given us much to consider and pray over. Make sure you are following us on iTunes so you receive notifications for each month's episode. And if you think other women would enjoy the Prepare podcast, write a review so more women can find our podcast. We hope you enjoyed this bonus episode, and we hope there are more to come. See you in May.